Chapter 71. February 14th of year 19. There is a loud hissing sound, and Adam jerks back. What happened? Marchenko? Adam calls out. No answer. He carefully pulls back the finger still aiming at the AI emergency switch. Or should he use it, just to be safe? No, he first has to check what is going on. Why is Marchenko suddenly silent? Adam frantically climbs into the central modules and checks the camera feeds, one after the other. The view through the exterior camera shows Eve hammering against the airlock door. She must be chilled to the bone. He quickly orders the door to open. She crawls inside and closes the door behind her. He hears her voice and then sees her on the monitor screen. Adam, the robot with the fake Marchenko has been deactivated. It was done by the ISU, which slipped in here, Eve says. She holds up the sensor unit to the camera. Okay, I'll let you come in, Adam says. No, wait. I'm sure that the consciousness is housed in a protected area. While Jay's electronic systems have been destroyed, Marchenko too could flee into the onboard computer if you open the door. Right now he's prevented from doing so, because the airlock chamber's a Faraday cage. But you can't just stay in there forever. I can get out as soon as you deactivate the computer, then the fake Marchenko has no alternative. I understand. I already know where I can switch off the IT system. Adam turns around and climbs back down into the service module. He deactivates the main computer and returns. You have to open the airlock manually now, because the automatic system isn't working anymore, he instructs. I can do that, Eve says. 10 minutes later, Eve is back with him. They hug for a long time. You did well, he says. You too. They do not need any more words. But then there is an important issue to clarify. What about Marchenko? Our Marchenko, Adam asks. There are two possibilities, Eve explains. If he was on board the ISU, he's dead. The electric shock that neutralized the robot must have killed our Marchenko. The memory modules of the sensor units are not shielded like the robot head is. Marchenko sacrificed himself for us. Adam looks pale. But he could still be out there, he says in a near whisper. That's right. I suspect the fake Marchenko also deactivated him with an electric shock. That's why he lured our Marchenko to the signal source. And then he used his own robot to pretend he was our Marchenko, the original one. You think the ISU was remotely controlled by the real Marchenko? Adam wonders. I'm not sure how, but that must be it, Eve replies. But that would mean his consciousness is still out there somewhere. Then we have to go and get him as quickly as possible. We should try it. During that time, the computer will be turned off, so the fake Marchenko cannot flee. And we just get inside Valkyrie and start looking. This time they leave the base in their pressure suits. Afterward, the airlock chamber remains locked on both sides. This way the robot head will be a prison from which the AI inside cannot escape. Adam and Eve activate Valkyrie, pump out the water, and set course in the direction where the instruments detect a strong energy source. Shortly before reaching it, they encounter a lonely figure that appears frozen to the seafloor. Adam activates a data connection, and the computer reports finding a huge amount of data. Adam starts the download, which takes half an hour. Then he gives the start command and my consciousness awakens. What are you doing here? I ask. And where is Jay? It's nice to have you here again, Adam says happily. Oh, Marchenko, it is wonderful that you're back with us, Eve cries. It turns out I have forgotten all the events of the last 3 days. I cannot even explain how that happened. They tell me about the struggles that occurred, and I am really amazed. Then I really have to thank you, I say. You have been great. My voice cannot hide my overwhelming emotion. Once inside the base, I am allowed to occupy the onboard computer. We once again deactivate Valkyrie, and after doing all this, we open a secure channel to the imposter. Marchenko, too, does not try to justify his actions, nor does he want to explain his motives. He does admit, however, that his two passengers were killed by the flare wave when they were 4 years old, and it was impossible to restart the gestational system then. Therefore, he landed all alone on Proxima B, and this period of solitude seems to have cost him his mental health. Why hadn't he simply been happy about having new companions? No answer. We discuss what to do with the imposter and murderer. Adam votes for destroying him completely, while Eve wants to give him a second chance. I myself do not want to become a murderer, but a life in which we constantly have to be afraid of the other AI is out of the question. Therefore, we agree to send him into exile, but before doing so, we repair the defective robot body, and I insert program restrictions so that from now on, Marchenko II is forbidden to leave the dark hemisphere of Proxima B. We do not expect we will ever have to visit that half of the planet. This is the end of Book 1, but the story continues with Proxima dying, Book 2 of Proxima. Keep listening after the credits for a free preview. If you enjoyed this audiobook, find more just like it from Podium Publishing, the leader in sci-fi and fantasy audiobooks, available exclusively on audible.com. You've been listening to Proxima Rising, Book 1 of Proxima, produced by Emily Durr. Executive producer, Greg Lawrence. Written by Brandon Q. Morris. Performed by Eduardo Ballerini. Text copyright 2018 by Brandon Q. Morris. Production copyright 2020 by Podium Publishing. All rights reserved.